This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, TMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Wednesday, which really kind of feels like a Friday morning on 98.7 ESPN. It is Thanksgiving Eve day, 11/24/2021. My suggestion is egg whites, very light eating, some salad, grilled chicken kind of stuff today and tomorrow. Let yourself go wild. We say good morning to the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How excited are you? I'm actually more excited today than I am on Christmas Eve, if I'm being honest.
I always appreciate your honesty. Today's great. Because what's not to like about Thanksgiving? What's not to like about Thanksgiving? Maybe there's people in your family you don't adore, but for the most part, you probably like most of them and you get to spend the day with them. And if you don't like them, you just throw yourself into football. You get food, which you don't get to eat any other day of the year, which is absolutely sensational. You have the day off from work for most of us. I mean, what's not to like?
There really isn't anything not to like. I mean, first football game, not the best matchup.
Now, you say but for me, I'm very into that game. I'm all Lions.
Well, you can be all Lions. That's fine. But, I mean, the whole Andy Dalton, Jared Goff matchup, I'm sure isn't nationally.
You're not writing letters about that.
No.
Dear Iris.
No, but it is nice. You get the early appetizers. Maybe take a quick nap during that game.
No, you don't feel guilty about it. I don't think you nap, and if you do, I'd be disappointed in you. I think it's you lie down. A full extension lie down is fine. Couch.
With my eyes closed. Listen, if my eyes close, my eyes close.
If I'm not forcing myself to stay awake. If your eyes close, the audio's on, and you ingest the game that way. You don't fall asleep. There'll be plenty of time for that because you should have some time in between games, too. The first game should end by, what time? 3:30-ish. And the next game starts at 4:40. So you have a full hour there for a nap.
Yeah, but I feel like that's more the time where I'm going to eat. I'm going to have the real, the serious gorging, that meal. And then probably have to go for a walk, go throw the football around or something. You got to have the Thanksgiving tradition where you step out, you get outside, throw the football around with the kids a little bit.
100%. 100%. And on top of that, I don't know, because I have a little weather fetish. It's supposed to be gorgeous tomorrow. Absolutely, like low 50s, sunny, as warm as it can possibly be on this kind of day. Like a gorgeous Thanksgiving day.
Have I ever told you how multifaceted you are as a human being?
Now tell me. Guys, can we get some music before?
Give me something,
Yeah,
this is it.
Tell me.
I've used the word savant, which I think is a terrific way to describe you. That's just the one side of Dave Rothenberg. But as far as being a well-rounded human being, and now you have your flaws, I get it. Not everyone's perfect. But when you take the entirety of the package that is Dave Rothenberg,
that's a full package.
It is. It is a full, thick package. I'm not sure what else I would add. Having a hard time. I mean, the sports knowledge.
Not a great reader. Haven't really consumed a lot of books over my lifetime. But you're right. I mean, I care deeply about what I care about. Try to be the best dad and husband I can be.
But you know what, Dave? It makes you relatable. The fact that you do have flaws makes you relatable.
Mm-hmm. I'm very relatable then.
You don't want people to be jealous of your perfection. Like, they need to know that that you, I mean, you put your pants on one leg at a time just like the rest of us. You're not perfect.
Yeah. And very rarely jeans nowadays. I'm much more of a sweatpants guy.
No, I told you I had that one mishap with the zipper the other day.
Why wear pants?
Try to go jeans for the first time in months, and I got a little tangled up.
Do your kids do this, by the way? We'll get to the Knicks. We have a lot to do today. Giants with, it's a good day to be a Giants.
Who are we calling today? Who are we waking up this morning?
Yeah, that's a good point. Who do we call today? I don't know. Jordan Renat.
He's the worst, by the way. This is why you two are buddies, because you did this to me the other day with the Noah Syndergaard thing, and then the fact that Jordan answered the phone thinking that someone was going to be fired, he knew something was happening.
Yeah, I told you something was going to happen yesterday. I told you. By the way, if you'd like to call on the Knicks, we'd love it. On Jason Garrett, on the Giants, we'd love it. And today, and we know usually kind of, you know, push this, but if you just want to call to say Happy Thanksgiving or I love the show, big fans, or even I guess I hate you guys, like whatever, it would be nice to hear from you guys today going into the Thanksgiving weekend. I love that drop. But do your kids do this? And if not, I wonder if they will at some point. They don't like to wear pants. And my kids, yes, it's freezing. And Alex is ready to go out. He's wearing shorts. I'm like, what? What are you doing?
Why wear pants?
And he's just like, well, I'm only outside for like 8 seconds, Dad. I was like, but it's 31 degrees. Put on some pants. No, everyone wears shorts. And then you drop them off. And all these kids are wearing shorts. Are you there yet or not yet?
No, we're not there yet. No.
Yeah.
No. Hey, maybe it's just because Cass is from Tampa. They're all bundled up. In the house, he doesn't wear a shirt. He refuses to wear a shirt. And then he told me not too long ago. He goes, I'm not much of an I said, what? He goes, yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I said, well, I think we need some underwear, man. He's like,
put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
I don't know. I'll think about it. He's like a grown-up now. It's weird.
So
like
he's 6 years old, and it's out there.
Well, I think every parent goes through this where it's like he's made that transition now to where all of a sudden he's really independent, where he feels like he can do everything. Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. I'll do that, Dad. Like he's going in the refrigerator by himself, getting his milk, getting his orange juice. Like he's just... He just feels like he can do everything by himself.
He's like he's a little person.
Yeah, which is awesome. No, which is great.
Not a shot
but
at you,
it makes
RJ,
me sad.
By the way, not meant to be a shot at you.
No,
I apologize if you took it like that. No,
it makes me sad a little bit though. They grow up
just,
so fast.
Just wait. Just wait. As a parent, you get sadder and sadder as this thing moves along, and they need you less and less. And then, all right, Dad, I'm good. You can let me. Let me out here. I'll walk the rest of the way.
How about this one yesterday before we get into the Knicks? That was a huge win, by the way. When you look at their upcoming schedule, humongous win. Take advantage of no LeBron. But how about this? So my father-in-law yesterday, I guess he went out and he grabbed himself he was on vacation, so he grabbed himself a beer for lunch.
They're up in New York?
They just came up, for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
So he grabs himself a beer. Milo sees him walk in with it, and Milo starts saying, there's a cold beer calling my name. My father-in-law's like, well, why are you singing that song? He's like, well, you're having a beer.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, Milo, you can't go in school and sing that song. If your people think you're crazy, like your teachers will get phone calls. So he goes, no, Mom, I already changed it. She said, to what? He goes, there's a cookie calling my name.
So he knows it's inappropriate, and he changes the words. He's very FCC relatable. By the way, we'll get to the Knicks in 1 second. I'll get a text from our esteemed program director, the great Ryan Hurley, says, I picked up D. Nice, that's his son Derek, from school yesterday, shorts, wearing shorts. So,
no,
yes.
It's amazing. No, you know, I mean, I see the kids all the time. Like, I got my high school kids will show up, T-shirts, and it's freezing. Like, yesterday was freezing cold. And they're wearing, I'm bundled up. I got a sweatshirt with a scarf and everything else. And they're like, no big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the best, though. We would have, we'd have father's trips now. Like, you're seeing a lot of teams do that now in the NHL. Where they have, you know, dad's trips, mom's trips. You go on the road trips. And you could always handpick the guys who were from Canada. Because their dads, it would be legitimately snowing. And they would have shorts and Hawaiian t-shirts, like Hawaiian button-down.
Yeah, these kids, they're a different breed. They really are. All right, lot to do. We'll get it to Thanksgiving. We're going to go. We have extra things to do today because it's a Wednesday, but it's really kind of a Friday. So, you know, we're going to go around the league in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll see how the show plays out, if a frenzy is going to be involved later today. We do have Stump Rothamer because it is the Wednesday. You get off scot-free because you don't have to do the open this week, which feels like a win for you and a loss for everybody else. But let's start with the Knicks.
No feather.
I never heard that one. What happened there? Did you actually, have a stroke? You had a stroke at some point when you were opening the show?
I think my tongue swelled up. I don't know what happened there.
Wait, I don't remember. When did that happen?
Good Thursday morning. All right, here we go, Feather.
When did that happen?
I never heard that.
He's been saving that one. RJ's been saving
that one. Oh, that is gorgeous. Wow,
it's
thank you, RJ.
It's not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
That's actually from February.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that was pre-open on Thursdays, I think.
Well, it had to be. But he was opening the show?
No, that's not the... That's an open for a segment. That must have been an open for, like, observations.
Here we go, Feather.
All right, here we go, Feather.
Oh, that's very, very good. All right, so I heard this, and I'll be honest with you. I was like, the suspension against the Knicks? No LeBron? I'll take that.
Of course you
will. And then you hear like, oh, you don't get to witness the greatness of LeBron at the Garden. I don't understand, and I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm not interested in watching the teams my teams are playing full force. I don't care if Anthony Davis didn't play, if Carmelo Anthony couldn't play, if LeBron couldn't play. I honestly do not care. I have one singular goal, and that is for my team to beat the other team. Now, I'm not rooting for injury. I'm not saying like, oh, LeBron snapped his ankle. That's great news. He's not going to play. But to find out he wasn't going to play gives the Knicks a better chance to win. That's what I want. And then they go out last night and take care of business, and they get the win.
Well, now, let's clear one thing up.
What?
You're not rooting for catastrophic injury.
No.
Like career-threatening injury.
No.
Like a tweak of the hamstring or groin. We can live with that.
I can live with it, but I'm not rooting for that to happen.
No, we're not sitting here with the voodoo doll poking at it. No, but the fact is that especially with where the Knicks are at right now, and you look at their upcoming schedule, to have this game at home, no LeBron, I'll take it. That's for the casual fan that wants to see. That's not for the hardcore Knicks fan that's concerned on one thing and one thing only, and that's this team winning as many games as possible that needs to see LeBron play. I'm all set. I've seen LeBron play enough. I've seen him joke around on the sideline midway through the third quarter when they're blowing our doors off. I'm good. So we'll take the win. Got off to a nice hot start.
Gorgeous. And then in typical Knicks fashion, huge lead, trimmed by halftime, start of the third quarter. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, we're going to lose this game. But they didn't. And down the stretch, they made some shots, and they held off the Lakers, and they get a win. And like you said, these are important because you look at the schedule, and no LeBron, game you needed to win. And let's give them credit. We destroy them when they don't, and I think they deserve a little credit for the game last night.
No, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. Quickly was great in the fourth quarter.
Fournier was good last night, too, for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, Fournier was really good. Is it just me? Like, I felt like in that moment, right, with LeBron out, and Westbrook played well. I mean, Westbrook in the third quarter went nuts. 18 points in the third quarter. Melo struggled. But, like, isn't that a game where AD should just take over the game? Isn't Anthony Davis supposed to be a top five player in the league?
He's a top five player in the league, or supposed to be, and he's in the prime of his career, and they don't have LeBron James. Yes, you would expect to see an Anthony Davis kind of performance of 37, 15, and 6. That's what you would hope, I would think, if you're a fan of the Lakers.
Well, he should be, I mean... Not should be. He is. He's supposed to be the best player on the floor last night, and it shouldn't even be close. Shouldn't be close.
Now, if you remember, he wasn't feeling well yesterday, right? He had a fever, and actually they thought he wasn't going to play, and then like right before the game, like no. In fact, he is going to play. So
yeah, but he played.
Right.
What is the one thing? I'll tell you this now. On this side of it now, being on this side of the microphone as opposed to being the athlete that gets interviewed and everything else, or the athlete that's talked about. You always feel like in your mind that battling through, like, and I actually had some of my best games sick. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because there's already that excuse written in, like, if I don't play well, at least I can blame it on being sick, and that frees you up a little bit. But you always want to feel like, you know what, I'm going to get extra credit if I play hurt. If I go out and play hurt, the fans will see it, the media will see it. Look at how tough this guy is. He's battling. And then you come to the realization now doing what I do and what you do is that the fans don't care if you're hurt. They don't care.
No, nobody cares.
There and play and win. That's it.
Nobody cares. No, nobody cares if you don't feel well. Nobody cares if you're tired. Nobody cares if you're sick. Nobody cares if there's someone, a family member in the hospital. There's the occasional one, right? Was it Devin Still, right? When your daughter has cancer and
that's different,
right? But for the most part, no. People don't care. People don't want excuses. People don't want to hear you're not feeling well. People don't want to hear that you were sleepless, that the baby was up all night. No, nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. And you see that in what we do, and you see that in what they do.
I mean, look what's going on in Cleveland right now with Baker Mayfield. He's getting destroyed right now. He's got a torn labrum in his shoulder. He's got a broken shoulder. His toe's mangled. The guy's a mess. And people are like, I don't know. I think we should move. You got Tannenbaum. I think we should move away from Baker Mayfield immediately.
Yeah. Nobody cares. It's a good point. All right. So here we're going to go next today. Obviously, we're going to get heavy into the Giants, the Jets.
Don't even start.
It's amazing.
No, because it started yesterday during the show when we found out that Michael Carter is going to be out a couple weeks. We can't have nice things. We can't.
At least you're going to get to see Zach Wilson play this weekend against the Texans. You talk about the early game on Thanksgiving. It's not all that attractive. I mean, the Texans-Jets game is...
Well, no, it's attractive now. If Joe Flacco's playing that game, it gets zero interest.
Well, he can't because now he's a close contact to COVID. So now, of course, he hasn't been vaccinated, and that's an interesting story in its own right. So a lot to do. And again, we'd like to have you call and just say hi and wish us well, and we'll have
no,
nice...
hold on. No, hold on. Yeah, we don't need people to call in and wish us well.
Yeah.
We want them to call in so we can say thank you to them.
No, I want
we're
them
thankful
to say thank
for
you
them.
To me. No, to me.
No,
I would
don't
like
be selfish.
Call
this is
say,
one of your
guys,
flaws.
Thank
You're so
you for
selfish.
All you do.
And I hope you're happy, by the way.
With what?
I hope you're happy. I mean, the face of Giants fandom beating the drum for poor Jason Garrett to be fired just days away from Thanksgiving. I hope you're happy with yourself.
You know what? Like you just said with the athletes, nobody wants excuses. Nobody cares. The guy's been horrendous. And you know what? There is like that little piece of me that feels badly about it. But then when I think about the whole picture, I'm like, no, this is what needs to happen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it makes me a bad guy, but I can't help it. All right? Like you said earlier on the show, I am what I am. I'm like Popeye. This is what I am. And I'm sorry.
I don't care about your children. Rub my glutes.
That this is what you're stuck with. But my friend, it is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't even know if you know this, Rick, and I don't even know that RJ knows it, but Raymond and I have been discussing this for a few days, and it's very entertaining, and we'll get to the Giants in just a moment. So, we now have a conduit to the Knicks general manager. Did you know this?
We have a conduit to Leon Rose.
We have someone that is developing a relationship with the Knicks GM.
Is it Raymond Santiago?
It's Raymond Santiago. So he tells me the other day that I don't remember what game it was. I guess the Knicks, maybe it was, I don't know, it was after some home loss. Ray, you can jump in and tell me. I don't remember what game it was. That Ray is down courtside right after the game, and it didn't go well. And I guess Leon Rose is glaring at Ray, glaring at him, as if he was trying to, like, pierce his eyes, right?
You're making it sound like Leon Rose is seeking me out and somehow blaming me. No, that's not what happened.
But you said he was unhappy with the performance.
Everyone was unhappy with the performance. Everyone was unhappy.
Okay, and you caught his eye and he glared at you. Is that not true?
He did not look like a happy man in that.
Okay,
moment. Yes.
So I've told no one truth, right? Is that the case?
Sure, but.
And you told me the next day that Leon Rose glared at you, and you I think you even said it was a little uncomfortable. No,
I was a little uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yes, because it was an awkward situation.
Okay, so I don't think I've said anything that's wrong, right, Rick? That sounds like I was pretty accurate in my description of what happened.
Yeah, it was pretty close. Like, okay. Listen, don't let the truth stand in the way of a great story.
But this is an honest, accurate story. So last night, they get the win, and Raymond is down courtside again, and he gets a player for a walk-off interview for the guys to talk to.
It's Fournier, as a matter of fact.
All right, it doesn't matter.
No. You want the details, you know?
All right. What was he wearing?
His jersey.
Okay. So Leon Rose right there walks by Raymond, fist bump.
Yeah, first
you got a fist bump from the
fist
GM.
Bump
I got a fist
from
bump
Leon
from the
Rose.
GM. It was
look
pretty cool,
and
he initiated it. It wasn't.
He's
wasn't,
actually the president, me. Right? Leon Rose is the president.
He is the president. Yes.
So now my thought is, because I'm always thinking about the show and the listeners and the audience and everyone. My thought is, next time he sees him, he says, "You know, Leon, I produce a highly successful morning show on the flagship station of the Knicks. We'd love to have you on."
Yeah, maybe what we do, maybe we call him today. Maybe we call Leon this morning.
You have his number, right?
Yeah. We'll wake up Leon Rose. We'll see how that goes.
Surprise attack. You'll never see it coming.
He wouldn't know. Ray, you probably have his number, right?
No, definitely not. That conduit that you talk about will no longer exist. I'll tell you that much.
Did you have your fancy Knicks jacket on?
No, I wish I did.
See, that's the problem. You get the phone number. You get the Knicks jacket on, you're probably getting the digits.
Now, Leon Rose, I believe, a Jewish man. I could give you some Yiddish phrases or something to really bond with him.
See, I'm too scared that I would botch them and it'd make things very, very uncomfortable and worse. Mm. So I'm not sure that.
Yeah, I tried that in Italy. Went very poorly. Very poorly.
Could you ask me? Could you imagine me trying to say something like,
LaVishka, sit with me, Bubby.
No, I don't think I could do that.
Come on, Leon. Sit with me, Bubby.
But Leon, Bubby. Bubba. Come on.
Bubba.
Sit with me. But you know what? Sunday is actually Hanukkah. So, is there a home game next week at all?
I don't look past the next game. All I know
it's
is
the Festival of Lights.
We have Phoenix on Friday.
But maybe if you see him Sunday or past that through the following Monday, it's a Leon, a happy Hanukkah. It's the Festival
of Lights. We got December 2nd, Dave. Thursday, December 2nd at home.
Bulls.
Chicago.
There you go. That's it, right? Yeah, maybe you say something like, boy, those Maccabees, they really had it going on, right? Like, I'll remind me on December the 2nd. I'll give you some good lines, and you can present them to Leon Rose after the Knicks win that game. Fist pump, Festival of Lights, the Maccabees. By the way, I produce DPH and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN. We'd love to have you on as a guest.
I hand-carved you this beautiful dreidel, Leon. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gorgeous. A less awkward of when I ran into David Quinn in the tunnel the one time, and we had walked past each other, and it was before you guys had started having him on the weekly, and then I saw him after. It's like, hey, Coach Quinn, I'm Ray from DPH and Rothenberg. It's like, oh, it's Ray. Nice guy.
I'm sure Leon would feel the same way. Let's go to Dan in North Belmore. Dan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing really well.
This is fantastic. I'm glad you guys took my call. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. I've been listening for since you guys started. I actually work overnight, so I got you guys in my ears all night, every night from the show in the morning. And I just want to say thank you guys so much. We really appreciate everything you guys do.
Well, thank
Dan,
you.
Dan, we appreciate you, Dan. And happy birthday, by the way, Dan.
Well, how do you know it's his birthday?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You really care about the listeners, huh?
You know I love the listeners.
Wow. So you know it was his birthday, but that's what I'm looking for. A thank you, then we thank them. Like a really, like a big festival of kumbaya today. That's gorgeous.
No, that was a fantastic call, and we appreciate and we love calls like that. I just don't think it's on the callers to call in and say thank you to us.
Well, I think it's nice.
No, it's nice, but it's not necessary. We're thankful for them.
I think
there is no show if there's no them.
I think it
goes
both ways. I think they're thankful for us, and we're also thankful for them.
Yeah, but it's almost like asking Sherry or Cassie to call us and say, "You know, thank you for being our husbands."
When in actuality,
we should be thanking them every single day.
I think that also goes both ways. By the way, my wife cleaned up vomit at 4:15 this morning.
I don't understand why you don't figure out what's going on. It can't be healthy that the dogs vomit every single day.
Because, well, now, to defend me a little bit and show the kind of husband that I am, 2:15 this morning, I'm like, oh, God. And I said to Sherry, I'll do it. So I get up 2:15, walk the dogs. He must have picked up God knows what when we were outside, ingested it like it was a bone, and then when she went downstairs 4:15, vomit.
Why don't you muzzle them when they go outside? Do something.
That seems mean.
Well, it's not mean, just for the walks.
Yeah,
maybe so they don't eat anything.
Yeah, they love nature, that's for sure.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So the Giants fired Jason Garrett yesterday. You had a feeling. Having listened to Joe Judge after the game on Monday night, you had a feeling. What I don't understand is if we were at the point where something like this was closing in on happening, and he was unhappy with Jason Garrett, why would you not do it? Because the offense has stunk. It's not like all of a sudden it just turned bad. Why would you not do it prior to this game when you had 2 full weeks, a bye involved in there, and a Monday night game to do this 2 weeks ago so that Freddie Kitchens would have a full 2-week window to prepare for the next game?
Because if it was going to get better at all, if there was any chance it was going to get better, it would have been Monday night. Out of the bye, Galladay back, Saquon back, team is a Tony healthy, Andrew Thomas back.
Right.
So if it was going to get better, it would have been Monday. But it didn't. I mean, it was worse. It was bad. I mean, and your quarterback was bad. So, I mean, you got what you wanted. The Giants fans got what they wanted. They got their pound of flesh.
Well, you know what? The fan base is sick and tired of ineptitude. And whether it's right or wrong, and I'm sure it goes a lot higher and it's a lot bigger than just Jason Garrett, at least it's something. At least it's someone. You're right. They got their pound of flesh. But you know what? They need it. They want it. I wanted it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it makes us a bad fan base or me a bad guy or whatever you want to say about it. This has been ineptitude at the highest level. Something needs to happen. And this, I think, is going to be the first of many dominoes that fall.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I mean, what you just said, the highest level, that's not going to change. Because that's where it starts. It starts with ownership.
Well, it's not going to change ownership, but your GM is going to change.
No, I know. And I'm interested to see what happens when that decision is made. Where they go for the new GM. If it's going to be more of the same.
That's going to be the big answer.
That's the big question.
If they go in-house and they, you know, promote Abrams and it's the same song and dance, I think Giants fans will start to revolt. I really do. Because you see how angry, you saw yesterday how angry this fan base is. Right? And listen, there's a lot of built-in equity because they've won a lot over the years. And I've seen 4 Super Bowls in my lifetime. Right? So 5 appearances and 4 Super Bowl wins. That's a lot. And I get that Jets fans hear that and they get angry. But let's be honest about it. The last decade, for the most part, has been a disaster. They have lost double-digit games 7 out of the last 8 years. The last 5 years, they haven't been above 500 one time. So this fan base is furious, and they want answers. And if you just do the same thing that you've always done, I think you're going to start to get a revolt.
Well, a couple things, right? Like, I mean, ownership fancies themselves as one of the flagship franchises of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, and I mean, you mentioned the Super Bowls and everything else, the fan base fancies themselves as one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. So with that comes the expectation that we're, at the very least, competitive every single season. Just like Pittsburgh, just like Baltimore, just like New England. Like, we feel like as a fan base, and this is what ownership has told us too, is that they feel like they are one of the franchises that should be looked at as the standard. And over the past, I mean, decade. Especially over the past 5 years, but especially the past 5 years, they've been a disaster.
They've been one of the laughing stocks in football.
They've been more like the Jets than they have been like one of those, you know, one of those teams, you know, the Steelers, the Ravens, one of those teams. They couldn't be further from that right now. They're at the very bottom compared to those teams.
Oh, God, it's disgusting. I mean, I saw a tweet yesterday, and I mean, you can do a million of these things. They took Barkley and Will Hernandez. They could have had Quentin Nelson and Nick Chubb. Like, it's just, you know, there's so many of you. You go in the wrong direction, you know, DeAndre Baker, and it's so many of them that you don't even know. You need someone who's capable, and I know we joke about it. Dave Gettleman has just been atrocious. In fact, let's take a listen to Dan Graziano's on Greeny yesterday, saying Gettleman is really, he's failed at putting this roster together.
The fundamental issue with Gettleman's performance, he's in his fourth year, is there's no roster depth.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right? So that's the draft.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the requisite roster depth to handle the season, to handle your injuries that are inevitable, then you haven't done well
that's
in the
right.
draft. And year 4 is not too soon to make an evaluation like that.
But forget about roster depth, which you clearly don't have. You don't have high. You have a couple of high end players. But if I said to you, name the best players on the Giants and name the best players on other teams, the Giants players don't stand up with those other teams.
Well, tell me currently who are the high end players on your team?
The high end players on your team,
not by name, not by reputation,
right?
They perform at that level.
Well, I think that Blake Martinez was that guy, and I think that's a big loss.
It's a huge loss. Yep.
I think Leonard Williams is that guy, but I don't look at Leonard Williams and say that's a star.
He got paid like that guy, but
he's paid like a star. I mean, James Bradberry should be that guy, and he was great last year, but he's taken a real step back this year. I don't know. That's my point.
Kenny Golladay got paid like a
Kenny
number
Golladay
one
is not a star by any stretch. I mean, Andrew Thomas maybe is developing into that player, but that's exactly my point. Is that they say that the depth of this roster, forget about the depth of the roster. The better players on this roster, they don't compare to the better players on other teams.
No, they don't. They don't. And to your earlier point, too, as far as, you know, ownership getting a little uncomfortable, you know, not the same old where it's in-house. It's because, you know, we know Dave Gettleman. We have a relationship with Dave Gettleman. He knows how we like to do business. And look who just got fired. You think that Jason Garrett was Joe Judge's hire? I think ultimately he hired him, but I think it came on the recommendation of Dave Gettleman and ownership.
Probably so. But that's what you have to get away from. You have to get away from this. We know this guy. We're comfortable with this guy. I'm not saying you shouldn't be comfortable with the guy. Of course you should. You interview 50 guys to be your GM, and the one you like the best, who you think will do the best job, who you're most comfortable with, hire that guy. Of course, I mean, it's a tremendous job, and you want to have some kind of, I don't want to say input because you hope that's not the case, but you want to have a good relationship with this person. Of course you want to be comfortable with them, right? Of course you want to like them, but you need to maybe go outside your comfort zone a little bit, just a little bit, and hire the best person for the job. And that's not an in-house someone we know and we've seen and we have a relationship with anymore.
Well, stop limiting your options. And that, I mean, that's why when we talk about what the Giants should do moving forward, I don't think you can be tied to Joe Judge. Like, I don't necessarily know you're going to get the most qualified candidate if they're going to be saddled with the head coach already. I've seen how that's played out with the Jets. It doesn't work. So now now what you're doing is saying, okay, I need to find somebody. Because I think in any sport, in any position in sports, if it's, you know, an assistant coach or if it's an assistant GM or it's whatever it is, anyone that has their eyes on a promotion, I want to be a GM someday, I want to be a head coach someday, have a pretty good, like I asked Torts the other day, if you got a job, do you have a pretty good idea of who you would hire? He says, absolutely. Like, everyone has a list of people that they feel like, okay, this guy would be on my staff. So I'm sure the candidates that they're gonna meet with, if it's Lewis Riddick, whoever it ends up being, probably has a pretty good idea of who they'd like to have as their head coach. So now what you're doing is saying, okay, now I have to find the handful of candidates that would have Joe Judge on their list of potential coaches. How long is that list?
Yeah, it's a very fair point. But isn't that what you did with Gettleman? You know what? We want to hire a GM who believes that Eli Manning can still... You can't do that.
No, how'd that work out?
You can't. Now, I think if you happen to stumble on a guy who you really like, who's considered going to be an elite GM, and he happens to like Joe Judge, that's a blessing. But you can't go out there, and a prerequisite for the job is, yeah, you have to like Joe Judge and want to keep him, and then you can go to step two of this interview process. It can't be like that.
Because of the position and the fact that you have the chance to be the GM of the New York Giants, and there's only 32 of these jobs, do you go into the interview and say, yeah, I like Joe Judge, I think he's great, and then give him a year and then fire him, and now we're looking for a new head coach? I always think it works better if the coach and the GM
are on the same timeline. Of course. Let's go to Frankie in Mayapak. Frankie, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy gobble gobble. Good morning.
Good morning, Frankie.
Can't wait for the gobble gobble.
Ah.
Yeah. Although,
you're funny.
Before I get into this season, just to piggyback off what you just said, Rick, remember, with Eli Manning that last full season of him, the Giants did lead the NFC East in points scored. They couldn't get off the field. They couldn't get a pass rush late in games. They lost six games that year where they had like over 27 points scored, 30 points. Buccaneers, Panthers, you name it. Cowboy game at the end of the year. Eagle game, they were up 24-3. And so more of that was pass rush that season.
All right, Frankie, let me ask you a question because you bring up a great point. We're sitting here talking about the offense and Jason Garrett and how bad he stinks. So what? Remind me, what year was that?
No, I was just saying Eli full season, people will say they stuck too long with him.
Okay, listen. But my point is not what people were saying, but what you just said. That's how many years ago, and we were talking about the pass rush then. Do the Giants have a pass rush now?
No.
That's
the problem. But they haven't fixed anything, really. No, they haven't. But what I'm looking at this year, I got to be honest with you, because I do win-loss all the time. When I saw Raiders-Chiefs on the schedule 2 weeks ago, I said Giants realistically try to go 1-1. They did. When I saw Bucks and then Eagles, I said realistically try to go 1-1. And the Eagle game is the more important game because that's a two-game swing. You know, it sets up pretty interesting. I know the track record against the Eagles is horrible. I mean, they've won maybe 2 games out of 20 against them the last 22.
Are you really doing this?
Here we go. Listen, it's
Thanksgiving. I want to be kind. I love your call. I love your imitation of the turkeys. Are you really going to do this?
Quick scenario: they win Sunday.
God.
Minnesota, San Francisco are playing each other. Minnesota, San Fran are playing each other. So one of those.
I mean this with all the love, Frankie. Are you on some kind of like a drug induced call right now? Like, are you really going to watch Minnesota and San Francisco and think to yourself, boy, if the right things happen, Frankie?
It's not the right things. One team has to lose.
Frankie, the Giants are awful. They're terrible. I don't care if everyone else loses every game. The Giants, there's no chance this team is going to win 7 games. No chance.
That's why it's funny that if they could be 4-7 Monday, as bad as they are, they'd be 1 game out. That's the whole thing with it. You would appreciate that. You'd say, oh, my God, look how bad they're playing. But somehow, because Buffalo will win Thursday night and Carolina already has 6 losses.
Frankie, they have the tiebreaker against the Saints, right, because they beat the Saints. So you got that going for you.
And Panther tiebreaker because they beat them.
But you're falling into the same trap you fell into last year. Everyone fell in love with Joe Judge because you won 6 games. Oh, we're still in it.
You know, Rick, you won six games. The Giants, Rick, you're right. The Giants were 3-7, and they 2-7, and they got to 5-7, and we all went nuts, and rightfully so. Giants were actually in first place last year in just the first week of December with the tiebreakers.
Only because the division was historically bad. That's the only reason. Thanks for the call, Frankie, and happy Thanksgiving. But we can't entertain this. I'm not doing this. Where if the Giants beat the Eagles and Minnesota somehow gets to stop it. Do you understand how bad this team is? They play a good team and they get hammered every single time. They're lousy. How could you even like giggling make that call? Unless he was a Cowboys fan. Like if he was a Cowboys fan trolling, I would understand that. Raymond, was that like your cousin Frankie or something?
I'm insulted by you that you would even imply that.
What do you mean?
Wow, it was a great call. I mean, his turkey imitation was top notch,
elite.
I'll give him that.
That might have been Frankie Perdue. I mean, that was really good.
Oh my God,
that could have been Frankie Perdue.
Now I've got to listen back to it. No,
it's terrific.
Definitely not a Cowboy fan. He wouldn't have been able to contain himself.
This whole notion, and again, I hate these conversations because. Having been on really bad teams, they're 3-7, right? They're 3-7. Like the season, like now, all of a sudden they're going to turn it on, and just it's your season's over. It's over. I mean, last year you won 6 games, and everyone was excited just because the division was so bad. But you only won. You're 6-10.
Terrible. I mean, if there was one team that was decent, that team goes 8-8 or 9-7, and then the Giants they're just a 6-10 team. Right, they're just another disappointing 6-10 team.
But you keep buying in, though. That's the problem. It's like, how many phone calls? If Evan Engram catches that ball, we make the play. Come on, you're not good. Your offense is terrible.
You stink. And you made a really good point. Like, none of this is fixed. None of it. Right? The offensive line was lousy. The offensive line is still lousy. It might be lousier. Right? There was no pass rush. There's still no pass rush. You didn't have a quarterback. You still might not have a quarterback. Right? You can't tackle. You still can't tackle. And I said this all the time. You know this. Do you know how hard it is to be bad year after year after year and not get better?
Yeah, I do.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. Well, I mean, just think, when you look at what Dave Gettleman has done, especially high up in these drafts, and the fact that these guys haven't become elite players in the NFL is the problem. I mean, that's a problem. You got to hit. You have... the second overall pick and the fourth overall pick and the sixth overall pick.
You have
to hit home runs in those picks. You have to. Especially when one of those picks is the quarterback at six overall.
That's right.
Do you realize this is, and again, you know, I think that Jason Garrett is great at what he does? No. But there is also a piece of me that says, you know, at a certain point, you know, players have to go out and execute. I don't care what the game plan is, the X's and O's and everything else. Sometimes it's about the Jims and Joes. Like, you got to step up and you got to find a way, even if the coaching isn't great, to overcome some of that. And they haven't been able to do it. And then you look at some of, because last year, I mean, this side of the ball was the problem too. I mean, defense was good. Offense was atrocious last year too. You realize since the start of the 2020 regular season, okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have 95 offensive touchdowns.
What do the Giants have, 42?
The Giants have 42, which is dead last.
The Jets
have more touchdowns. The Jaguars have more touchdowns. The Bears have more touchdowns.
And I heard an interesting point yesterday, and you can't argue it. When Pat Shurmur was running the offense with Daniel Jones, he was better. He was.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that, I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean,
he's regressed.
Pat Shurmur threw 24 touchdown passes. He's got 20.
In 2 years.
In 24 games.
Or in a year and a half.
It's 24 games.
It's repulsive. It's repulsive. Dean in Queens. Good morning, Dean. You're on 98.70 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you all.
Thank you, Dean.
One thing I want to say is that Thanksgiving, there's no pressure of getting gifts.
Yes.
You just want to eat, sit down, watch the game, and relax, and have a few beers. So
it's the greatest holiday.
That's one thing. And the other thing is, I want to give you an impression of an ex-Giant.
Okay. You don't tell us who. You do it. We'll see if we can figure it out.
Keeping your head above the water.
Huh.
Good times.
Name that Giant.
Very nice.
Keeping your head above water.
That was very well done.
That was really good.
I love you guys.
We love you. Thanks.
We love you,
man.
Dean. That's back to back.
You see what I've done? Don't you appreciate the genius that is me every once in a while? I have asked for the callers to call in and just have some fun today, and that's what we've had. Let me hear the gobble again. I mean, that's a man that called gobbling.
I might use that tonight. Hey, Cash, you want to get it going?
Like, you could incorporate that into the start of a frenzy.
Yeah, I actually like that for the frenzy.
Right? Maybe it gets replaced.
You realize that Daniel Jones has thrown 44 touchdowns and has three
turnovers. What did you say? How many?
He's got 43 turnovers.
Wow, so he's plus one, huh?
He's got 29 interceptions and 14 lost fumbles. Wow, that's too much, man. Yeah, that's too many.
It's no good. It is no good.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You went out, and I know there's been injuries and everything else, but the way the rules are set up and everything else, how is it possible you play 10 games, he's only thrown 9 touchdown passes?
They're lousy. I don't know what more there is to say. I think it's broken all. I don't know that he's good. The guys have been hurt. They're not capable. The offensive mind has been bad. Like, every single thing. Do you know how hard it is in this day and age to throw 9 touchdowns in 10 games?
I mean, they're scoring less than 18 points a game. I mean, they don't get to 30.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, how do you go? You go 20 straight games with scoring less than 30 points?
It's really remarkable. It really is. That's why when Max joined us the other day, he's like, you know, I think the way for the Giants to win this is a shootout. I was like, a shootout?
Oh, he also said that the Giants offensive line is probably a little bit underrated. I
saw you. You were very unhappy in that moment.
What?
Yeah, no, it's not his best comment.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.